Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Shivas Yamim Kodem Yom Kippurim. Marfrishin Kohen Gadol Libeso. So 7 days, a week before Yom Kippur, they would separate the Kohen Gadol from his house. The Gemara explains his house means his wife. So we were concerned that he might become Tamei from his wife if, for example, he lives with her when she's a Nida, or he didn't know she was a Nida, then she became a Nida. Different things that come up that'll make him Tamei. So we're concerned about it, and therefore you can't go into the base of Mikdash and serve Yom Kippur if he's Tamei. And all the Avodah, all the services of Yom Kippur are all dependent on the Kohen Gadol. So we would separate him from his house, separate him from his wife for a week before Yom Kippur. And this is learned out of different psukim in the Torah. And we would put him in the Lishkas Palhedrin. We would put him in the chamber called Palhedrin. And this was in the Azara. And the Mishnah in the Gemara actually has a text, Parhedrin, doesn't really make a difference, but something that you do want to see over here, as they point out, is that initially it was actually called the Lishkas Blate, the chamber of the Blate. Blate is a Greek word. It means Sarim, V'nechbadim, priests and ministers in Greek. So initially that's what the name of the chamber was, the Lishkas Blate, the chamber of the priests. And the reason why it was called that was because that's where the Kohen Gadol would go, and he was the priest. But during the second Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, many of the Kohen Gadols were actually very, very wicked. They were big Rishon. They would take money, and they would bribe, you know, the Beis HaMikdash, or their king, or whoever they would need to, you know, pay to get in, and they would purchase the opportunity to be the Kohen Gadol. You can't do that. It's totally crooked. Kohen Gadol was supposed to be a tzaddik and a very, very righteous individual. But these, you know, Kohen Gadols, quote unquote, they wanted all the covet and all the honor, and they used to buy their way through it. And believe it or not, every year when they went into the Kodesh Kodashim, they would die because they were wicked. They couldn't withstand the Kedusha. And each year, some other smarty pants thought that he could do it. And it was very unfortunate. Year after year, they would be dying because they were very, very wicked and they were just buying their way through. And then they changed the name from Blute to Palhedrin. Palhedrin comes from the word Pekidi HaMelech, the anointed ones of the kings. Meaning, just like a king every year will flip through his servants and throw out the bad ones and bring in new good ones. So too that was happening over here with all these Kohen Gadols that just, you know, were buying their way through and dying every year. So that's where the name changed from Blute, the noble ones, to Palhedrin, the, you know, appointed ones, whereby they're being appointed each year and being tossed out because they're no good. So that's how it changed. And we'll see also later on in the Masechta, it was very unfortunate that during the second Beis HaMikdash, you know, a lot of the Kohen Gadols were very wicked. Okay. Umatkinin lo Kohen Achar Tachtav, they would set up another Kohen instead of him, meaning like a standby Kohen. Shema Yerabo Psul, in case the Kohen Gadol become invalid for the Avodah. For example, let's say he became Tamei for whatever reason. So they would have another one on standby. The one on standby didn't have to be hanging out in this chamber. He could be at home. But he was there just in case the first Kohen, you know, would become Tamei. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda adds, he says, Afisha Cheres Matkinen Lo. They would even prepare a second wife. What does that mean? Shema Tamus Ishto, lest his first wife dies. And the pasuk says, Shenamar v'chipa pa'ado uva'ad beiso. We learn that from this pasuk. Beiso zu ishto, that his house is his wife. He has to atone, you know, for Klal Yisrael, but he has to have a wife. He's atoning for himself, his wife, his children, and all of Klal Yisrael. He has to have a wife. He has to be married. So his wife dies, Erev Yom Kippur. He's not going to have a wife. He can't serve as the Kohen Gadol. So they prepare for him an extra wife. Now, how would this extra wife process work? So this is how it would work. He's married to wife number one, and then he would marry wife number two, okay, and then give her a get right afterwards to divorce her on condition, this was the condition, the tonight was, if my first wife does not die, then you're divorced from now. Shelo Thomas Ishtam HaRishon, if my first wife does not die, then you're divorced from now retroactively, okay? Then he would give a second get on Erev Yom Kippur to his first wife, on condition that she does something, she puts an apple on her head. You know, just a random example, but remember the example. So now, listen to this. If the first one does not die, so then the second wife's get, it takes effect immediately. She's divorced retroactively, and she was then, and that's it. He only has one wife. But if the first one is going to die, so right before she dies, you fulfill the condition that he made with her. He said that you're divorced if you put an apple on your head. So right before she would die, they would take this apple, put it on her head. Now, she's divorced. Once she's divorced, so the second wife, her marriage is going to take a, her marriage is going to stay intact, and her divorce won't take effect. So then he'll be married to the second one. So doing this, performing this process would keep him married to both the first wife, it keep him married to at least one of them throughout the Yom Kippur, so that he's always married to a wife. That was the idea. Amrullah, but the Chum says to Rabbi Yehuda, Im Kain, if so, Ein L'davar Seif, there's no end. There usually appear 10 wives. Maybe the second wife is also going to die. So the Chachamim didn't like this concept that Rabbi Yehuda was saying. And therefore, you know, granted, you have to have a vice coin in place if it becomes Tame. You know, normally he's going to be very careful. And if there's somebody on standby, he'll be even more careful. But a second wife, you know, this doesn't make any sense because you could have a third and a fourth and a fifth. So the Chum didn't like it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, he was still concerned. He says, listen, the first wife might die. A second wife? The second wife dies. That's really too far-fetched. But the first one might die. And therefore, Yehuda said, you have to have that second wife, you know, on standby and make this whole process with this, you know, condition so that he's always married to at least one wife. We passing like the Chalim, not like a Yehuda. But that wraps up the first Mishnah. Mishnah Beis, Kol Shivat Yamim, all 7 days before Yom Kippur. Huzorik es Hadam, the Kohen Gadol, would spritz the blood of the Karbanos of the Tamid of the morning and of the evening. He would spritz it on the Mizbeah. Umakde es HaKtores, he would burn the portion of the Ktores every day, b'chol yom, on the Mizbeah Hazav, on the golden Mizbeah, a portion in the morning and a portion in the evening. Umate Vasaneros, he would clean out the menorah from the ashes and the wicks that was had extinguished there, and he put in it new oil and new wicks. Kefisha Hayanor, like it was the custom every single day, says, and according to the Rambam, he'd even light it, after he'd cleaned it up. Umakar Vesarosh Vesaregel, he would sacrifice the head and the foot of the carbon tumid. Vimanasach, these are the portions that they bring up. It was the first thing they brought up every day. The carbon tumid was done first in the morning. And the truth is, really all the limbs, this is just an example, all the limbs of the carbon tumid, he would sacrifice, every day, the week before Yom Kippur. So these are all the things that he'd be doing a week before Yom Kippur. Ushar Kol Yomim, but the rest of the year, Imratz, if the Kohen Gadol wants, Lahakif, to bring a carbon, any kind of carbon, Makrif, he could go ahead and bring it. He'll take precedence over any other Kohen that, you know, they used to have a whole system where they would allocate the carbonos to all the different Kohanim. We'll learn about it. But he could always come in and just, you know, push his way through and say, hey, I want to do this, I want to do that. Why? Kohen Gadol, Makrif, Chelek, Barosh. Because the Kohen Gadol, he's always, you know, he could bring his portion first. He's Rosh, Varishon, Hu, Lahakif, Kolmash, Yivchar. He takes precedence for anybody. Shekin Shah Kohanim, all the other Kohanim in the group, you know, they had a certain, you know, calendar that they followed. But the Kohen Gadol could bring his karbanos whenever he wants. But as a chelik barosh, he could also take, he takes the first portion of in the kudshim that was eaten. He could take the nicest piece of the karbanos, afalpi, even if he didn't sacrifice it himself. Kohen Gadol has special dominance over the other Kohanim because of his status. And they bring down that regarding bringing the karbanos, you know, he could bring the karbanos, but regarding taking a portion, I want this piece of meat, I want that piece of meat, that was only the kachim of the mizbeach. But the kachim of the gavul, of the, like, outside the mizbeach, meaning, like, truma that was coming from, you know, people from, you know, from their grains, or challah that was coming from their challah, or different types of gifts that people would give from their animals, you know, then Bain Kohen Gadol, Bain Kohen Hedget, they would divide equally. Whether a standard coin, Kohen Hedget is a standard coin, or a Kohen Gadol, you know, the ultimate coin. So in that regard, they were equal. Things that were like, you know, outside, meaning B'kachek Vul means Kachem of like just the general city. Truma, Chala, you know, regular gifts that the people would bring. So then he was equal to a regular coin. But otherwise, things that were being done, you know, the things that were more kachi mizbeach, things that were coming from, you know, the actual mizbeach, he would be able to take, you know, the nicest piece. And he'd also be able to bring his karbonos whenever he wants, even if it wasn't his turn. And like we said in the Mishnah, a week before, he'd be doing all these things in the Beis HaMikdash to get him, you know, in mode and prepared for Yom Kippur. And that concludes our Mishnah for today.